Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Wendy, I'm home.
I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire!
Go to hell and take your friends with you!
Carpet Day!
Huh?
No!
Get off my plane.
I lied.
Right, hello everybody, and welcome to this bonus track of Movies to Drink To. It's what are we calling this? It's kind of a recap on basically stuff that Lee and I have watched recently. It's been a while since we did anything like this. Just to sort of, you know, any new movies or TV shows or even old stuff that we watched recently and what we thought of them. So I made a list. I will jump in first, if that's all right.
Crack on.
Let's see, what was the first thing I wrote down? Oh, Masters of the Air, which is... Okay, I haven't seen the last episode yet. It came out yesterday.
I watched it Friday.
Friday. Haven't seen the last episode. I've just got the one episode to go, and I'll be done. But I've been pretty impressed. I really enjoyed it.
Excellent. Mm. It's really, really good. It's I don't think it's as good as Band of Brothers, but it's up there.
Yeah,
like it's definitely good.
I see. I don't really get some of the hate it's getting, because there are some people like, oh, it's just crap compared to Band of Brothers. So we'll stop comparing it then.
Yeah.
It is a good show. Yeah, all right, it's not as good. It doesn't mean it's terrible.
No.
It's still really, really good.
Yeah.
It's up against, like, arguably the greatest miniseries ever made. So,
yeah.
Like, shut up. But, it's very good.
It's definitely, like, there's a similar tone and stuff. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, it's not as good, but it's fucking like you said, like, there isn't much that is. But yeah, it's still really good. Like, the all of the protagonists are really interesting.
Mm.
Certainly because they are based pretty much like based on real people. I think, like, the whole thing, they haven't over-exaggerated much. Like, obviously, like with anything, there's a certain amount of poetic license taken, but this shit happened, like, you know, to these people.
I mean, if you haven't seen it, slight spoiler, but I thought it was quite a smart idea to kill off Barry Keoghan, who is obviously a very big star at the moment, and he's in this show for 2-3 episodes, and then
I think
it's just,
he makes it into episode 3,
and then it's just killed. And it's sort of like, a you know, because any of them could have died. Like, they were famous. The Bloody 100th were famous, but that they didn't live very long.
No.
So I think the average lifespan was like 6 weeks. To have a big star in it and then sort of kill him off very early on, is kind of a, well,
it's a huge moment as well, like in that thing. Yeah, it's definitely a bit of a gut punch of a death.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it's very, very good. But yeah, it's very well done. And I was saying to Finn before we started recording, like, if you've got Apple, if you watch it on Apple, there's a documentary about the real people, called The Bloody 100th, on Apple as well, which is well worth a watch. But yeah, it was the, like, it captures the sheer, like, terror of being in those planes, like, and
the actions and stuff is insane,
like,
and it's terrifying to watch, and it's all, and the stuff in Europe as well where they're like on the run is terrifying. Like, the scene in the train stations and stuff, it's just like edgy. You see, like, oh god, Nazis are so awful, aren't they?
But it's like if you're up in the air, and those things weren't, like, particularly sturdy.
No.
Like, at all. Like, you see them, like, and it looks like they're paper mache, like, almost. Yeah. Like, because, like, the length of distances they had to fly and stuff, they weren't particularly thick, like planes. But yeah, if you're up in the air, you're being shot at by fighters as well. Like, there's missiles coming at you and all sorts. Like, if you're going down,
You're going down.
Yeah, you're going down. There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
Like,
Right. Okay, cool. Yeah, that was Masters of the Air. Yeah, definitely check that out. Anything else, Mr. Smith, you're currently watching? Have watched recently?
Well, we both went to see Dune Part 2.
We did. Yeah, it's great. It's I think I need to watch it again. I really enjoyed it, but I don't think I enjoyed it as much as everybody else seems to be enjoying it.
Right.
People are like, this is like the best thing since Empire Strikes Back. I'm like, I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's not. Is it that good? Is it? Was I missing something? So I need to see it again. But yeah, it is very good. It's very cinematic.
Oh yeah. It's beautiful to look at. Oh yeah. As was the first one.
Yeah, as are all of Villeneuve films. Oh, I can't remember how to pronounce his name. Anyway. Yes, yeah, so it concludes that story. Well, no, it doesn't. It's if you haven't read the books,
yeah,
which I have not, when the film ends, and again this might be spoilers, but it's like it doesn't end. It just sort of stops happening.
Yeah, it's very much... it feels like a middle film, even though it isn't really.
No.
It's basically, this is the second... The part one was the first half of the original book. Part two is the second half of the original book. And then it's carried on in Dune Messiah.
Yeah.
Which Villeneuve is currently writing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very much like... I don't know if it was like if Frank Herbert did it deliberately or whether he got to a stage and he was like, fuck me, I've got loads more to do.
Yeah.
should probably end. Otherwise, this book's going to be this big.
Yeah.
It does feel you get to a point and you're like, I need a bit more.
Mm. There's also great performances from pretty much everybody, even though no one gets that much screen time.
No.
Apart from Zendaya and Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah.
Really.
It's the same as was Jason Momoa in the first one.
Yeah.
You're like, fucking hell, Jason Momoa? Oh, he's dead.
Yeah. But people like Florence Pugh,
yeah.
Christopher Walken, Stellan Skarsgård, even Josh Brolin, all these people, huge
Austin
stars.
Austin Butler. Excellent.
Yeah, he is terrifying.
Yeah.
Huge stars, great performances, but yeah, none of them get that much screen time. Anya Taylor-Joy in her... one scene
for
with no dialogue
at the best.
Because it was like I knew she'd been cast and she was at the premiere, and then I don't know when she shows up in the film, like hour number two or something.
Yeah,
it's like
late on.
I'd forgot that she was meant to be in it, and then she's there, and then she's gone. You're like, why?
That's it.
Yeah,
you hear her whispering at one point.
Yeah, I'm assuming that. In Dune Messiah,
her character plays a big part in that.
Yeah, I think in the David Lynch one, her character is like born and there.
Yeah, you see her as a as a child. She's like a weird little kid.
Yeah, it's all very strange.
Yeah,
but yeah, it is fantastic. It's beautiful to look at. It's very epic.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like it's
it is long.
It is long.
It is long.
Very long. But I didn't feel particularly like.
I think I only looked at my watch once, which is pretty good for me.
I don't know. I was like, it got to a point I was like, I think I feel like this film's wrapping up, and it wasn't. But other than that, yeah, it didn't bother me like the right. It's like 2.5 hours,
yeah,
I think.
And there are some bits in it that did make me laugh, which are probably memes now already. I mean, it doesn't make it any less of a brilliant film, but there's this whole thing where Paul Atreides is like, we're not going south, we're not going south, we can't go south, it's too south. And then he walks up to the top of a dune, sits there
against the rock,
yeah, and then goes back down and is like, all right, let's go south.
Yeah. they have a conversation amongst themselves like, how are we going to convince him to go south? And he's like, I've changed my mind.
Like, shit, that was easy.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
it is weird.
The may thy knife break and shatter. And Austin Butler's like, may thy knife break and shatter.
There's a fantastic bit on the Harkonnen homeworld, which is all filmed in...
black and white. Yeah.
But it's...
there's a black sun.
Yeah, it's almost like negative.
Yeah.
Like, it's done... and it looks amazing.
Mm.
Like, it looks fantastic. Because at first I was like, oh, this is a weird choice, but yeah. It looks stunning.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, it's very much, I mean, the issue the Lynch film had, obviously, was lots of studio involvement. They decided they weren't going to split it into a few films, so they had to kind of cram as much as they could into one film.
Yeah.
But you get all the bits that are missing. Like, this film makes a lot more sense, but it's Dune. It's so confusing. Like, it's so in-depth.
Like I said, I've never read it. Like, I don't think I ever will, to be honest with you.
I don't think I've finished the first book. I've never read the others. Like, but I have. I picked up the first one. I got halfway through. It's a very. I was young at the time as well.
Right.
If I was to read it now, possibly. But then I was like, oh my god,
there's so much going on.
So much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to the next.
Dune Messiah.
Installment, yeah.
And then there is another, there's Children of Dune as well.
There's, I think there's about 8 books.
Yeah. But I
and
think.
Then Frank Herbert's son, I believe, wrote a couple afterwards.
Yeah. But I think the story of, like, Paul, I think, ends with Messiah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So I don't see Denis Villeneuve making Children of Dune.
No, I would imagine he's probably signed on to do Messiah.
And I reckon
whether they
it.
Do Messiah, because Messiah is a pretty hefty book as well, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it wouldn't be unusual for them to do that in 2 parts.
Yeah, maybe. All right, what else? I watched Ad Astra recently.
Ad Astra.
Brad Pitt in space.
Oh, I went to the cinema to see that when it came out.
What did you think?
I went with Mari. And we both kind of like sat there, like at various points in the film, we both looked at each other. I was like, "What is this film about?" And then we got to the end. It was like, "Oh, it's about nothing."
yeah, it's
nothing happens.
Yeah, it's odd. It's beautifully shot.
Yeah, yeah. There's no denying that.
It's got some great sort of effects in it. I do love the moon buggy drive-by gun action.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt is. Brad Pitt's a very subtle actor. And I don't mean he's boring, but he's very subtle at times. Like, sometimes it really works, like in Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
He's fantastic in that. And that sort of subtlety lends it to that whole movie. This, not so much. He's almost kind of robotic to a point in this. And the plot, I don't get it.
Isn't it? He's looking for his... Dad?
He's looking for Tommy Lee Jones, his dad, who has gone to Neptune. And because he went to Neptune, he went mental when he killed his crew. And because of something he's doing there, it's sending these waves of energy to Earth, which is going to destroy mankind.
Yes.
All right.
And if I remember rightly, he doesn't find him.
He does.
Oh, he does find him.
He does find him. And then his dad dies. And then he goes home.
Yeah. But yeah, there's no, like, you get, it just feels like nothing's happened.
And the whole time I was like, why, what is it his dad is doing that's destroying I don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit, like Apocalypse Now, where they go looking for Kurtz. It's like that, but I don't really understand how, what... Tommy Lee Jones has done is going to end the world.
I remember being annoyed.
It's quite good if you just want to watch something with like no energy.
It's very much it was a slog through the cinema because we were both like,
oh, and there's a baboon at one point that kills everybody.
Oh, that's the best bit.
The baboon. Yeah. The baboon in space monkey.
Yeah, that's the best bit.
Christ. But yeah, it's all right, but not a lot happens. Very low energy film. Another one I watched was 65.
I've got that queued up.
Adam Driver versus the dinosaurs.
Is it fun or is it bad?
It's bad. It's very bad. It's not a good film. It's very uninteresting. It sounds like it should be interesting.
Yeah,
it's not. It's a bad film. It's boring. You just, the whole time, you're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't fucking care. And it's just, it does that same trope that everything has done for so long. Disgruntled bloke has to look after a child.
Right.
And get them somewhere safe. That's it.
Dinosaurs.
Oh, and there's dinosaurs. Yeah.
Yeah, I did download it, but I have not watched it. For that reason. Like, I've heard no good things about it.
No.
So I was like, well, you know.
It's not even like good action. It's just boring. incredibly boring.
That's a shame.
Yeah, because, I mean, how can you make dinosaurs boring?
Yeah.
Well, I found a way.
I did part watch the film recently. Couldn't finish it. It was Dash Cam.
Nope, never heard of it.
I think it's by the same guy that did that... oh, what's the name of that film? It was all filmed entirely like on like Zoom calls.
Oh, Unfriended?
Is it Unfriended? Where there's like they do like a seance or something online.
Yeah, the one that was filmed during COVID.
Yeah, that's
I like that.
Unfriended was good.
Yeah.
Dash Cam takes a similar premise. It's this woman, it's set around like COVID time. It's this woman who's like a big like MAGA Trump fan.
Right.
But she like streams herself. She like drives an Uber or something. She streams herself singing in a car all the time or some shit. And then she goes to England, just turns up at her mate's house in England without telling him. And she's just so abrasive, like, and horrendous. Apparently they used to be in a band together. But just from within the first 5 minutes, I was like, please kill this woman. she's so grating. Like, and then there's a weird bit where she gets kicked out of that guy's house, goes to this place to pick something up, and ends up picking this old woman up. And then this old woman ends up shitting herself. And then it just like, and then this old woman's floating around, but you see all this like done on phones and like webcams and stuff.
Right.
I couldn't get past. I got halfway through and I was like, life is too short. and that woman, like, I'm sure she's deliberately written like that, and then at the end she does die, hopefully. But it was an incredibly difficult watch, just purely because of her. Like, hated it.
A good film, though, I saw at cinema is The Iron Claw.
Oh, yes, I haven't seen that yet.
The Iron Claw is fantastic. Zac Efron, Jeremy Allen White, and Holt McNeely in it. It's about the Von Erichs, the professional wrestling family. It's not really a film about wrestling, though. It's very much a film about family. And it is not an easy watch at times. If you are prone to crying, you will cry. It's quite brutal in places, but fantastic performances.
Yeah,
from everybody. Zac Efron is amazing. I was just like, I mean, he looks monstrous now, but he's really good in it. Everyone's very
good.
I've
kind of got time for Zac Efron now. Like, I know where he started, obviously, is like those annoying High School Musical films and stuff, but he does take projects that kind of
push him. Yeah, as an actor. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, this is one of them.
Even that Ted Bundy film, which is boring.
Right.
He's very good as Ted Bundy.
Right. Okay. Oh, yeah, but The Iron Claw, I can't... it's fantastic. Just brilliantly shot. I mean, it's a difficult story to tell. And if you don't know anything about the Von Erichs, probably even better. It's very much That'd a story... Meaning. Yeah, very much a story of, like, tragedy. And this supposedly cursed family. And yeah, it's very well done.
Yeah,
considering, I mean, there was we'll put it this way: there is the four brothers in the film. There was in real life a fifth brother who is cut out of the film.
Oh, weird!
Entirely, he's not mentioned. He's just not in the film. And they made the decision. They were like, pacing was an issue. How long this film was going to be was an issue.
Yeah.
And also, if we included him as well, it would seem too unbelievable.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. Even though that is true. But it was like, we have to rein it back. Like, the story is so unbelievable that we've had to rein it in a bit, otherwise audiences wouldn't buy it.
Right. Jesus.
But yeah, I highly recommend it. So it's not an easy watch. It's bleak, really. It's... those, one of those things, you're not going to want to watch, you probably watch it every 3 years, maybe. Like you might do Schindler's List. It's quite harrowing, but yeah, it's very well done, and it's a great film.
Huh.
Yeah.
So I finally got around to watching Barbie.
Oh, yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It's like, very funny.
It's a great film. Like, it's... I did. I know. Obviously, like, you couldn't escape people throwing their opinions out about it.
Yeah.
But I've got to say, like, if you're a fella that's watched it and felt like attacked by it, grow up. It's just, I can't, like,
good, you should feel attacked by it. You're a problem.
Yeah, okay, yeah, put it that way. Like, there's nothing in it, I think, that like, if you're anyway, like, normal, like, I don't feel you should feel attacked by it. I think it's a very clever, like, film for what it is.
Yeah.
Like,
considering there's not a whole lot of plot.
Not really, no. I mean, yeah, it takes a very twee plot. Like, yeah. Like, there's a imaginary world where Barbies live and they come to the real world.
Yeah.
Could have been an awful film.
Yeah.
And they've made it into what is essentially, like, a very clever satire.
Mm.
Like, and it's wonderfully written. Like, some of the lines in it are brilliant. Like, I laughed, like, several times throughout that film. Michael Cera is fantastic.
He's really fun. I mean, obviously I loved Arrested Development, the first three seasons. And then, for me personally, I felt Michael Cera kind of fell off a bit. Like, I was just like, actually, maybe this guy isn't that funny. It was just the writing in the first three seasons of Arrested Development. And then, obviously, he was cast in this and he's there on screen. I'm like, I'm not expecting anything from him. But he's really funny.
Yeah, he's great.
He's really good at it.
In a very small role. Like, he does a lot with it.
Yeah, very much
as
so.
As does Kate McKinnon as Weird Barbie. She does so much with that role. Margot Robbie's great. What's his name?
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling is fantastic.
Yes.
Like, it's such an odd performance.
Yeah.
And almost to the point where sometimes you're like, is he trying? But, like, he's playing a Ken doll.
Yeah. It's very bizarre in terms of, like, obviously, Ryan Gosling is very famous.
Mm.
To see someone kind of his stature, you know, when he was like, he was some nominated for Oscars for things like Half Nelson, or you see him in Drive, and then you just see
Lars and the Real Girl,
You see him doing this completely batshit performance, and he's hilarious. He's so funny, and it's so over the top, and it's there's moments in it. This is why some people might not like it. They see that, and maybe they see themselves looking back as this over-the-top moron. It's like, he's like an embodiment of all your stupid comments on the internet.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The things that he thinks patriarchy are, like horses and trucks, brewskis, is just so good. And Will Ferrell as well has some brilliant lines. Again, he's not got a big part, but he's very Will Ferrell. But it's some of the lines. There's a bit towards the end where he's almost like, because he's not like, he plays like the CEO of Mattel, so you think he's going to be the big bad, and he's not really bad.
No,
like, he's just an idiot.
Yeah.
and he's the one person, like, at the end where everybody's kind of learning the lesson, still misses the point.
He's like, call me mom.
Yeah, call me mother. And they're like, no. it's a good film. A good film. And you need to, like, go into it. If you go into it and forget all of the, like, hyperbole surrounding it and just watch it for what it is, it's a funny film.
It's very funny. Yeah, it is. Another good film watched this other night, Poor Things.
Oh, I'm probably going to watch that later.
You're right. Poor Things, obviously Emma Stone won the Oscar last week. I'd say quite well deserved. I haven't seen all the other films that were nominated for Best Actress. She is great in it. The story is essentially, have you ever seen Frankenhooker?
A long time ago.
It's Frankenhooker.
Right.
It's stylized Frankenhooker. Someone also described it as Barbie for unhinged people. it's very stylized. It looks fantastic. It's very funny as well, which I wasn't sure. It's like, you know, really sort of read about it, you see the trailers, it seems like this very artsy, quirky film, but it is hilarious. It is very artsy, the way it's shot. It goes from black and white to sort of the aspect ratio changes. Some of it's in, like, fisheye lenses. They use these sort of, not so much special effects, but, like, the painting backgrounds, stuff like that. It's very artsy, but it's really funny in places. Mark Ruffalo is hilarious, playing a character not too dissimilar to Ken. he's that kind of moron.
Yeah,
he's very funny in it. Emma Stone's great in it. Willem Dafoe's great in it. It's just got interesting characters throughout it. Yeah, beautifully shot. Yeah, it's quite long.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit too long. But yeah, very enjoyable.
Cool. Yeah. I look forward to seeing that then.
Hmm.
Oh.
What?
I watched Insidious, The Red Door.
Which, okay.
It's like the latest in the...
How many are there now? I've definitely seen the first one, I know that.
I think there's like five or six.
What?
There's definitely a few of them. Wasn't there, there's like the Skeleton Key or some shit? I fucking can't remember. But this one goes back to, it's got Luke Wilson in it again.
It's Patrick Wilson.
Patrick Wilson. One of the Wilsons.
He's not related to the other Wilsons.
One of the Beach Boys. I don't know. Patrick Wilson.
Yeah, who's not related to Luke or Owen.
Is he not?
No.
I've just always assumed that he was.
He looks nothing... All the Wilson
brothers... He's not related.
I'm sorry, the Wilson brothers all look like they're related.
This is true.
And Patrick Wilson... does not
one out.
No, does not look like either of them. The weirdest thing is, you've got Luke Wilson and Owen Wilson, obviously very famous.
Yeah.
You've also got their... is it Andrew Wilson? The third brother.
Right.
Who is the least famous, objectively.
Yeah.
He's the best looking.
Hang on. Patrick.
No, Patrick is not one of those Wilsons. Because I was looking at something, because on Framed this morning, it was Bottle Rocket.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which I've not seen in ages. But Andrew Wilson, who is by far the most
quite
handsome.
Quite rugged compared to the others.
Of the three. But yeah, not as famous. Anyway, sorry. Anyway. Insidious with Patrick.
So Patrick Wilson.
But not that Wilson family.
Not the Beach Boys. and his son, like that were from the original two films.
Who's must be in his 20s by now. Right?
Oh, yeah, he is. He was also the kid that was in Iron Man 3 that did nothing.
Okay.
But yeah, he's been in a few things. But yeah, and now it's like his kids go to college. They're all him and what's her name are divorced, but they've had their memory wiped of all the events, like by a hypnotist at some point.
Okay, so,
but now they're having like there's visions and stuff, and then like it's all about the father son relationship, and then all of this stuff happens, and he gets possessed. It's garbage.
It sounds atrocious.
Oh, it's Patrick Wilson actually directed this as well. Like,
oh god.
So I mean, he's very deliberately done this.
because I like Patrick Wilson as an actor.
Got a cameo from Lynn Shay right at the end. Who
Lynn Shay?
Yeah, Lynn Shay. She was the paranormal investigator woman in the original. She's in loads of stuff.
Right, okay.
You'd know her if you see her. She's in quite a lot of horror stuff. But yeah, so like there's a throwback like cameo, but her character is dead. So it's just, she's just a vision like or some shit.
Okay.
It's just bad. Like they need to, don't make any more. Like there doesn't need to be any more of these films.
No. I say I've only seen the first one. It had a couple of really good jump scares.
Yeah. And the first one's good until it gets to the end and they go into the further, and then it's just nonsense.
Yeah. And if I've seen any of the other ones, I don't remember them. I also get them confused with the Conjuring films. But then
they all came out around the same time.
The Conjuring and the Conjuring Part 2 are good films.
Yes.
Part 3 is
garbage.
What the fuck is that about?
So bad.
It's so bad.
What's the other one that came out? Sinister?
Yeah, I've seen the first one. It's okay. The second one's terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the ones I always get confused with, Sinister and Insidious. But yeah, anyway, bad. It's bad, it's bad, it's bad. Don't watch it.
I also watched Megan.
Oh, God.
The other night. Or Mafregan.
Yeah.
Why is it like
Mafregan?
Why did they put a three?
Oh, my God, it's Mafregan.
It's not, why?
Yeah, it's not like it's the third film.
No,
either.
Did I miss something? Why is it Mafregan?
I've no idea.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't hate it, to be honest with you.
I did not enjoy it.
I went in, I think, being like, this is going to be garbage.
Right.
This is going to be so bad, but I don't care. I'm going to watch it anyway. It's just something to have on. And yeah, I didn't hate it. It was all right. It made me laugh quite a few times.
It's what I class as like a family horror film.
Right.
It's not particularly scary. Like, it's not...
It's not violent.
It's not violent.
No.
There's the, you could watch this with your kids.
Like, she's creepy, though.
There is, yeah, there's certain scenes where she's quite creepy.
Yeah.
The whole bit where she's in the corridor, where she's doing all the weird movements and stuff, but, is very well done, but still.
I think, but then again, I'm genuinely, like, scared of, like, AI and robots killing people. Yeah, I didn't. I wasn't like,
it's inevitable.
Yeah, this was like, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm like, this could happen. But yeah, I think maybe it's because I went in with very low expectations. I was like, oh, it's all right, actually.
Yeah.
There's a second one coming out.
Mforgan.
Yeah. I still can't get over that Mforgan. Why? Why?
It's never explained in the film. There's not like, it's not
this
like
is
she's
the third model.
Yeah,
no,
nothing like that at all.
No, fucking stupid. And finally, last night I watched Palm Springs again.
I love Palm Springs.
I love Palm Springs. I don't think we've ever talked about it on here. Mm. It's such a good film.
It takes what is a very kind of tired trope, like in movies. It's been done
it's
well,
Groundhog
it's been
Day.
Done badly. Yeah, Groundhog Day is obviously the one everyone remembers. You're trapped in a 24-hour time loop.
Yeah.
Or whatever, and you've got to do everything right to get out of it. So Palm Springs takes that and kind of runs with it. Right?
Yeah.
And it does, like, all of those, like, terrible thoughts, like, if I had 24 hours.
Yeah, and just doing the same thing.
Just doing the same thing again.
Yeah.
That is basically what
Andy Samberg.
Andy Samberg's character that of does.
And he's fantastic in it.
Yeah.
And I think the idea is that it's never really stated how long he's been, because basically at the start of the film, he's in the time loop anyway.
Mm.
And he inadvertently brings the bride of honor at this wedding that he's stuck in forever. She ends up getting stuck in the loop as well. And it's never really mentioned how long he's been there before the events of the film.
Yeah.
But it's believed it could potentially have been millions of years.
Yeah.
So, and then it starts to sort of question, you do start to question, like, God, if I was stuck in that. And he's been there so long that he's almost kind of forgotten what he was like. He can't remember what his job was.
Yeah.
And that's how long he's been stuck in this. And it's very funny. Uses the humor very well. It's very sweet. It's, I think, becoming one of my favorite films. And there aren't many kind of feel-good comedies in my list of favorite movies.
Yeah.
But it is. It's very feel-good. It's sort of very kind of joyous, and it does ask these kind of existential dread questions about life, and is it all meaningless, and what's the point of us being here and all this stuff? And it goes into that, but the whole time done very well and done
it's
funny.
It's very well written. Even his character isn't particularly well known at the wedding. Like, because you think, like, fucking surely, like, people know him, but nobody really knows him.
Yeah, and it's a weird thing because they address this as well. The fact that, remember, this guy's been here for a very long time, living the same day, which is a wedding. And over this very long time, he knows everything about everyone there, but no one really knows who he is. Each day he gets up and he's just Misty's boyfriend.
Yeah,
he's just been invited along. No one knows who he is, so he has to go throughout this existence knowing everything about everyone, but no one knowing who the hell he is.
Yeah.
So he's every day he has to try and start conversations like he does. And then there's a bit where they mention about sex, and she's like, "Have you had much sex?" And he says, "Well, it's quite hard, because it would be, because you have to go in every day and starting from nothing, to try and eventually have sex with someone
wedding,
at the end of the day.
A wedding full of people who don't know you."
Yeah.
and J.K. Simmons plays, he's like
Roy.
Father and bride, isn't he?
No, he's a wedding guest that is also stuck in the loop. He's fantastic.
He's
in it
excellent
in it's one of those films where, like, I know we've talked about it, but, like, I'd say the less you know about it, the better.
It's
full of surprises, and great characters, lots of great humor.
I think if you like Groundhog Day, then definitely check it out, like, because I think I like it more than Groundhog Day.
I
love Groundhog Day, but
I don't really like Bill Murray that much.
I know you don't,
but Oh yeah, definitely prefer this. Yeah, but Andy Samberg is, he's very likable. He's very sort of charismatic, even when he's, you know, his character is flawed.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And but it's still kind of he still has that charisma that you go, I'm going to stick with him, yeah. And you are there for the whole journey. It's one of those films when it ends, well, you don't want it to end.
Yeah,
it's like you could happily just I could be stuck in there with him. This is fine. It's very enjoyable. Right, I believe that's everything I've sort of watched recently. This of note. Yeah. Cool, thanks, Matt. This has been a more relaxed, fit, shooting the shit kind of episode to make up for that pile of crap we just did.
Which please still watch.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll be back with, what is it? Jason Goes to Hell.
Jason Goes to Hell.
Yep, and if we find time, we might do some more of these, just kind of more kind of chilled out, chatting about what we've watched. Anyway.
Cool beans.
Well, thank you all for coming here tonight and drinking all of my booze. Oh, really. Please leave. The party's over. Get out.